strength, his possessiveness, and his punishments. I was unsure of what to do in his presence. He paralyzed me with fear. "Get dressed." Meister handed me the thin white material. With shaking hands, I did as requested, brushing my long wet hair from my face with my fingers. Meister kicked a pair of sandals in my direction, and I slipped them on, stopping myself from sprinting toward the door. Then Meister was beside me, holding my arm with an iron-tight grip. He led the way forward, pulling me toward the door. The turning of the lock seemed to take forever, but when the door finally opened and daylight flooded in, I breathed in my first lungful of clean air and instantly felt calm. I flinched as we stepped outside and sunlight blazed around me. I stilled, trying to gain my bearings as I blinked in the morning sun. Or maybe afternoon. Or evening. I did not know. I leaned into Meister to stop myself from falling, his huge body propping me up when I became lost to a sudden wave of weakness. When the world eventually came back into focus, I took in what was before me. The town, one unlike anything I had ever seen before, with its shacks of all shapes and sizes scattered around the dusty ground. Signs sat above the buildings. Saloon, jail, dentist, barber, and many more. I had no idea what many of these titles meant, or if these buildings operated as they were named. A light breeze blew the dirt up into the air, swishing the sand around my feet. It blew the strange flags that hung from the buildings, the material flapping gently. It was quiet, only a few men walking around the barren town. Many of them looked similar to Meister. They wore the same harsh black tattoos on their skin, had similar shorn haircuts. The coloring was the same. They wore similar clothes, and they all stared at me. Meister stiffened when one male passed and cast me a leering smile. He stepped forward, using his massive frame as a weapon of intimidation. "Get the fuck on before I break your motherfucking neck, cunt," he snarled, sending the other male running into the large building whose sign read, "Saloon." Meister wrenched me forward. I could tell by his aggressive hold that he was greatly displeased. I stifled a moan as his hand bruised the skin on my arm. I did not know where we were going. I was simply grateful to be outside. We had barely taken a few steps when a loud shout and the sound of a gun shattered the silence. My head snapped to the right, to the building where the noise had come from. Meister ground on his heel, his grip tightening. "Fuck," he spat when a man came barreling through the building's door. "Meister," the man called. "Problem." Meister's lip curled, and he gave a low growl of annoyance. He hauled me back toward the door of the shack he kept me in. My heart plummeted. I was to be locked away once again. I gulped in as much air as I could, pathetically trying to savor its freshness and the velvet touch of the breeze as it lapped over my face. Another shot fired, and the call for Meister came again, even louder this time. Meister groaned in frustration and slammed me back against the wall of the shack. The air was ripped from my lungs by the impact. Before I even had a chance to recover, Meister's firm grip was caging my face, and his blue eyes bored into mine. "Stay here. Don't even dare move until I get back."
"Yes, sir,"
I managed to reply. Meister crushed his cruel mouth against my lips. He did not want to kiss. He simply wanted to ravage my mouth. He pulled back and darted across the dirt to the building which housed the trouble. The sign above the door read, "Dentist." I slumped against the fragile wooden wall and cleared the water from my eyes. As if my body could do nothing but obey his command, I remained rigid and unmoving. In the quiet, I allowed my eyes to scan the area. My head ached and my mouth was dry, but worse, my arm itched, and my veins had already begun to swell with the need for Meister's potion. And I was tired. I was so, so tired. Movement from across the dirt path grabbed my attention, and my head snapped up as I caught sight of a man hurrying from one of the buildings, dragging someone behind him. I narrowed my eyes, trying to see more clearly. My eyes were getting so blurry, tiredness beginning to take hold. And then everything snapped into focus. A blonde-haired young woman, a white dress, the exact same design as the one I wore. Shocked at the very fact that I was not the only female in this place, I took a step forward. Just as I did, the woman pulled back from the man, fighting to get free. She slipped from his grip, and as she did, she turned, giving me a glimpse of her face. The recognition hit me like a blow to the head. I felt the blood drain from my cheeks, my limbs growing weak as I fought to remain upright. No. No, 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 no! I rubbed my eyes, trying to see her better. I prayed that I was mistaken. I prayed. I shook my head, convincing myself I was wrong. But I knew that face. I loved that face. Horror, devastation, and a gamut of every sorrowful feeling swept through me like a hurricane as the male grabbed the girl by her hair and slapped her across the face. The girl swayed on her feet, then, unable to do anything else, she was dragged in the male's wake toward a large barn-type building. A girl. Because she was a young girl. No more than... I racked my brain, trying to remember, trying to clear this ever-present fog from my brain and grab on to some facts, some truths that had existed before Meister had burned them all away with his potion and his pain. 14, I thought, as my eyes widened and my heart beat an impossible rhythm. My hands shook as I recalled the girl's face to my mind, connected the memories to the present. Her long blonde hair, her slim body, her dark brown eyes. Saphira? I whispered, a red-hot slice of pain cutting through my stomach. Was it her? No, it could not be. She was safe in a faraway place. He had told me she was safe. She had been sent from New Zion. She had not drunk the poison. She had been safe, survived the mass death. Devastating pain slashed through my head as I thought of her face again. The fear and panic as she pulled from the man, her bruised lips, her split skin. No, it cannot be. My focus spun and my vision swam. I could not think. I needed the potion to think. I needed what only Meister could give me. But then a piercing, feminine scream came from the building to my left. Without thought, my legs propelled me forward. I ran. I ran as hard and as fast as I could, stones from the rough, loose ground slipping into my sandals and slicing my skin. My legs were weak as I pushed myself toward the building, but that did not matter when another scream followed. This one was softer, as though the screamer was being hurt. My Saphira being hurt.
Saphira,
I choked out, almost inaudibly. Panic infused my every cell, rushing to erupt into the well of sadness building in the pit of my stomach. I reached the wooden door of the barn structure and pressed my hand against the dark-stained wood. The pulse in my neck beat so fiercely that it was the only sound I could hear, until I pushed through the door, and everything stopped. Time. Sense. Life. My body was motionless as I stared around the room. Bile and vomit crawled up my throat at the putrid smell clogging the air. Girl after girl, mostly young and slim, lay still in row after row of narrow beds separated by flimsy curtains. I ran past a brunette, then a blonde, searching their gaunt faces. Their eyes were either closed or dazed. They were lost to the potion, their arms just as marked and bruised as my own. And then I stilled. My lips trembled. I knew these females. Mary. Eve. Bilha. Martha. Martha! They were from the Order. These girls, some as young as 14, were females from New Zion. My people. And... A moan came from the far corner. Saphira. I said, each syllable filling me with dread. I was not imagining things. I saw her face, her beautiful, angelic face. This was not the potion playing tricks with my mind. Not this time. Saphira was here when he had told me she was safe. I did not understand. My heavy mind would not let me process it, and the male from outside was pinning her down, one hand digging his fingernails into the flesh of her arm as he parted her legs with his legs. His other hand wrapped around her neck, choking her, cutting off air. Then suddenly, I saw her slim, fragile body go limp. A clear bag hung on a metal pole beside her, and the potion inside was dripping into the vein of her arm. Saphira. My Saphira. I lunged. I threw my body at the man pressing Saphira down. I hit at his arms and used my long nails to scratch at his skin.
Bitch!
He snarled and threw back his arm. I lost my balance and fell to the ground. My arm smacked against the floor, sending a lightning rod of pain splintering through my bones. But when I looked up and was met with the hazy, dark stare of Saphira, her fragile body succumbing to the unrelenting will of the potion, I forced myself to my feet. I staggered back toward the male, who was hovering yet again over Saphira. Mustering strength I did not know I possessed, I hurled myself at him, pulling on his arm to stop his hand from resting upon Saphira's exposed thigh. Stop! I shouted. My voice grazed and raw. I had to stop him. I had to save her. This time, when the male tried to throw me off, I held on with all of my might. My arms wrapped around him, and acting on pure instinct, I sank my teeth into the side of his neck, and I bit down hard. I bit so hard that the male staggered to the side and slammed my back against the wall. Breath whooshed from my lungs, and my arms fell from around his neck. I dropped to the floor, exhausted and depleted, drained from all the fighting. But I had to try. I had to get back up. I had to save her. The door slammed open. My heart sank with pure fear before I even looked up, because I did not need to look up to sense his presence.
What the fuck?
He snarled, his deep voice sounding like daggers drawn, threatening to slice into my cold and broken skin.
Stupid fucking bitch attacked me like some rabid dog.
Meister's feet pounded across the floor so fast that I curled in on myself, desperately trying to escape his wrath. But his wrath was not focused on me. I heard a shuffle, a pained shout, and a struggle for breath. Meister had the other man up against the wall, his bulging arm braced at the base of the male's throat. The male reddened as Meister placed his face close, teeth bared, lips pulled back like a hound escaped from hell itself.
You touched her?
Meister hissed, spittle landing on the male's face. He shook his head in protest. Blood trickled down his chest from the bite I had taken from his flesh. I took advantage of the distraction to crawl across the floor. Saphira's arm was hanging from the bed. I reached out and took her hand in mine. She was so cold. Her fingers were so weak. Saphira. I turned my head to see the male struggling to breathe, the tips of his feet kicking at the floor. His eyes stared straight into Meister's, yet the contact did not cause Meister to flinch. His strong arms held firm as he bled the male of his life's breath, as he watched the light fade from his eyes. When the male's eyes had begun to frost with the imminent call of death, Meister leaned in close, his mouth to the male's ears, and he said softly, delicately,
"You touched her. No one touches her."
Meister's head drew back, and he watched with interest as the male's skin blotched with red.
"I can't let it happen, Dale. Even the best of soldiers must obey my commands. No exceptions. No weaknesses. Remember? We are at war, and I am the commander."
In one last-ditch attempt to fight for his life, the male thrashed with the remaining stores of his energy. But his effort was futile. Meister's unyielding grip held tight, and within seconds, the male's body slumped in Meister's hold. His arms sagged. His feet dragged the floor, and his eyes never blinked again, forever frozen on his murderer. As if discarding nothing more than a sack of dirt, Meister released the body to the floor. And then he turned to me. His blue eyes blazed with adrenaline, with the thrill of the kill. I begged my traitorous limbs to cease in their trembling, but it was no use. Fear held me tightly in her embrace as Meister stepped toward me. He was displeased.
He was more displeased than I had ever seen before. I squeezed Safira's hand tighter. Crying, I kissed the back of her hand, the skin broken under my lips. Then I let her go. I could not let Meister near her. I could not let him hurt her like he had done the man on the floor. I forced my body to stand and edged my way toward the door. My eyes searched the room as I wondered idly what I should do, where I would go, how I would get Safira out. Salt from my tears ran over my cracked, dry lips. Meister was unmoving in the center of the room as he watched me. I swallowed, trying to lubricate my swollen mouth enough to speak. I ran my gaze over the females I knew, whom I had once laughed with and shared food and drink. Their bodies, so hurt, poisoned with the strange liquid, glared back at me as if I were part of the devil's worst ever joke. "What is this place?" I managed to croak. Meister's nostrils flared, and the veins in his thick neck pulsed. He tipped his head to one side and ran his tongue over his bottom lip. These are my new Zion sisters." My eyes drifted back to Safira, lying on her small cot, and I felt my heart crack down the center. Her dress was still bearing her modesty from where the now-dead male had been touching her young skin. Vomit crept up my throat as I thought of her being taken, as I thought of the man taking her, her 14-year-old body, her dignity. A whimper left my mouth as I tried to get to her, to cover her up. I wanted her to open her eyes and look at me, but the potion had pulled her from consciousness. I needed her to wake up and see me, to know I was here for her, that I loved her. A firm hand seized my wrist, bringing me to a stop. Meister's grip tightened, and I cried out. I could no longer bear the pain. He was silent as he twisted my arm. I dropped to my knees, tears falling from my eyes. "Please," I begged, when I feared he would break the bone. Meister glared down at me. My entire body shook. Slowly, ever so slowly, Meister crouched down until he was at eye level. I had always thought Meister was handsome, yet it amazed me how a person's polluted soul could seep from their heart and corrupt even the most beautiful features.
"I told you to stay beside your shack."
He ran the index finger of his free hand over my cheek. A soothing, calming gesture, the tenderness a sharp contrast to the pain at my wrist. My eyes squeezed shut. When I opened them again, I repeated, What is this place? I drank in the devastating sight of good females reduced to this pitiful state, the smell of male release and joining, the sense of helplessness and capture. But Meister did not answer me. Instead, he brought his face to mine and regarded me with his unique version of adoration. His cheek rubbed against my own, his lips brushed past my lips.
"I have been good to you, Liebchen," he murmured, lovingly. "I have cherished you, cared for you, kept you away from all of this."
It took mere seconds for Meister to snap, to change from benevolent to malicious. His hands dropped from my face and wrist, only to reach out and fist within my hair. He wrapped his fingers around the damp strands and hurled me to my feet. I screamed as loud a scream as my weak voice could muster. My scalp was on fire as Meister wordlessly wrenched me from the room housing my sisters, my Safira. I tried to resist. I tried to get back to her, but Meister did not tolerate disobedience of any kind. He would not let me go. Turning on his heel, he raised his free hand and sliced the back of it across my face. My legs buckled, yet I did not fall. Meister kept me upright by my hair. I struggled to find a fragile footing as he dragged me back into the sunlight. We came to an abrupt stop outside the building Meister had run to earlier when he had ordered me to stay at the shack. The dentist sign idly wandered into my mind as I stared at the ground. A set of booted feet came into my peripheral vision. "Meister," a low voice said, a question in his tone.
"I'm using this. No one comes in unless I say so. Anyone dares, and I'll fucking kill them."
"Sir?" the male replied, stepping aside. I dared to raise my head, but I immediately regretted it. A lifeless mailed body lay in the dirt beside the wooden building, but unlike the male Meister had strangled, this one wore a blade in the top of his skull, his blood pooling around him. I tripped as I was forced up the step to the building, and then we were inside and all I saw was blood. Blood on the floor, blood smeared on the walls, and blood covering the pale, lifeless body of a young girl, no more than 17, strapped to a large leather chair. Her wrists were bound, her ankles were pinned down with cuffs, and blood pooled between her legs. A clear bag like those beside Saphira and my new Zion sisters hung at her side. I could not hold back the tears for the girl who stared up at the ceiling with unseeing eyes. Her hair was long and brown, the thick strands matted and dull. And then I studied her face. Her beautiful face. Rachel. My chest caved in when I recognized the beauty before me. A sacred sister, only 16 years old. Sweet, kind Rachel with the pinkest rosy cheeks. But her cheeks wore no rose tint anymore. Get her the fuck out and burn her, Meister ordered. The male lifted Rachel from the chair. Her naked, ashen body was skeletal in the male's large arms. He tossed her lifeless corpse over his shoulder as if she had never been a person, a spirit, and a soul. But instead, disposable, and nothing. Not even worthy of respect after death. Wordlessly, the male carried Rachel toward the door. As he passed, I found my hand drifting upwards and my fingers wrapping around her own. They were cold. They were so cold. Nothing more than skin and bones. Just like Saphira. Worse, they were stained with crimson, the spilled blood of her ordeal. Whatever that was. The blood dripped from her body, leaving a trail in her wake, a dark red path leading from the place of her earthly hell. I closed my eyes. I wanted to run to Saphira and free her. I wanted us to run away and start somewhere new. Go to some heavenly place where there was no pain, no blood, where there was kindness, not cruelty. But I knew of no such place. The door closed. Meister and I were alone. I heard every breath we each took. His, calm and smooth, mine, fast and scared. I scanned the room, allowing my reddened eyes to drink in the scene. Strange tools hung on the walls. Apparatus that I could not understand sat upon tables. And then there was the chair. I felt his eyes watching me, burning a hole into me where I stood. He moved beside me, a needle in his hand. Like it did every time, my skin reacted to the call of its master, the nameless potion that soothed my fiery blood. An involuntary moan slipped from my lips as my body swayed in the direction of the needle. But Meister pulled it back from my reach and gripped my cheeks with one hand. You disobeyed me, he said darkly, his blue eyes filled with ire. He approached, and for every step he took toward me, I took a step back. He was the hunter, and I was the prey, as he backed me farther into the room, his large body looming over mine. My legs hit something, and I lost my balance, tumbling downward. Something hard broke my fall, and I slipped on something wet. Before I could react, I was sitting on a chair, reclining back. I tried to move, but Meister pinned my wrists and strapped them tightly to the chair. My hands throbbed as the blood fought to push through from my bound wrists. My ankles were next. I glanced down, and I realized where I was, and what was wet beneath me. I chased vomit from my mouth as I watched my white dress become sodden with red blood. Rachel's still fresh blood. No, please, I begged. Meister finished tying my ankles, ensuring I could not move. I struggled against my restraints, but it was hopeless. I was trapped. Meister. I felt a teardrop leave the corner of my left eye and crash to the soiled leather beneath my body. He moved beside me, stroking my hair from my face. My eyes closed under his touch, but not in comfort. It was in trepidation. I did not know what was to come, but I knew it would stop me from getting to Saphira. She needed me, and I would not be able to help her. I would not be able to help any of them. Meister bent down and smiled at me softly. This place, as you so called it, is for the cause. The race war that is about to come. My eyebrows pulled down in confusion. I had no idea what a race war even was. I have spared you the truth because I was trying to protect you. He smiled, as though he were feeling something sweetly in his heart. Because I love you, I have kept you from what happens in this town. Meister's face fell, and anger marred his features. But you just had to disobey me, didn't you, Liebchen? Because you're a whore, and that's what whores do. You cannot be trusted, and now I must teach you to behave.
He leaned over and kissed my forehead.
I must eradicate what you have seen today from your weak mind. Take all of these new memories away.
He smiled.
I have a new serum I've been testing. Real potent shit. Makes all of these memories fade to nothing, never to be recalled again.
He stroked my face so gently.
I'm gonna give it to you, and it'll work. Soon you'll remember nothing of this night. It will be as if it never happened. A clean slate.
No!
I shouted. I did not want to forget. I needed to remember she was here, that she was not safe, that I needed to save her from this hell. I could not be thrust into darkness, my memories stolen, never to be recalled. She would perish. The pain, the fear she would endure. He ignored me. Taking a knife from his pocket, he ran the sharp blade down the front of my dress, severing it in two. He pushed the material aside, exposing my body to his eyes. Then, in a flash, his hand was at my throat, his tight fingers starving me of breath, his face encroached on mine. If you want to be treated like the rest of the sluts in this town, then you fucking will be. Only you'll be my slut, and I will school you to our ways here. I will break you like I have broken them, own your pussy like I own theirs.
He loosened his grip as he reached into his pocket with his other hand and pulled out the needle my veins so heavily craved. Meister injected the vial of potion into my arm. Then another. Then another. I floated away. I watched, detached, as he crawled above me, released his manhood from his pants and slammed himself inside me. I watched from my perch on the ceiling as he gagged me and sliced his blade across the flesh of my stomach, letting my blood fall to the already soiled ground. And I closed my eyes as the potion took me to the forest I longed for most, the one where my Rebecca and Grace waited, the one where Saphira walked out of some overgrowth, covered in blood. I cried out at her too thin body and lifeless eyes. Saphira! I tried to get to her. But I was tied to a tree, my hands behind my back. Saphira saw me, and tears fell down her face.
Save me,
she begged, as she began to fade away. As the potion engulfed my veins, I watched her fade from the forest, then begin to disappear from my head, shape by shape, image by image. I tried to remember her face. I tried to hold on to the fact that she was here. But the potion, mixed with this new mystery serum, grew stronger than ever before, robbing me of Saphira's cries, her tears, her face. I rocked against the tree, back and forth, trying to recall what I'd begged my mind to remember. But the forest was barren and dark, and my head was too full of fog. I was alone in this forest. Alone and afraid. I wanted to remember. I needed to remember. But as my arm tingled and I became motionless against the tree, everything was just gone.
Chapter 3. AK. I've created a background on y'all, Tanner said as we read the files he'd given us.
I placed your information on the clan's intranet and shared files. There's millions of people on there, so you'll be lost among the names. I made you mid-level members. You should be let in, but not cause too much intrigue. I read my file again. Tanner had us originally part of the Louisiana Brotherhood. Cowboy's Cajun accent would help with that. We were nomadic clansmen, apparently. I hadn't even known there was such a thing. Meant we drifted from state to state, helping the clan cause wherever we were needed. Mobile soldiers. And this Beau Ayers, our supposed reference? I asked. Take it he's a relative of yours. Tanner tensed. My brother, he eventually said, casually, as if the relationship meant nothing to him. But the way veins corded slightly in his neck told me otherwise. Let me guess. Y'all ain't too close now you've left the great white cause. Cowboy drawled as Hush watched the ex-Nazi with suspicious eyes. He never trusted him fully. Couldn't really blame the guy. Don't speak no more, Tanner said stiffly. He was next in line to me, so now he's the heir. He has top authority in the clan circles along with my father and uncle. But he keeps to himself, ain't too talkative. Signs off on orders through emails and shit. Perfect person to have given you the green light to head down here to Texas. Tanner leaned on the table, all business, emotion gone. You show them your names on entrance. They'll check them in the system, verify the memberships. You say you just got into town and need to unwind, and you want pussy. I'd go as far as to say you want pussy in all the fucked up ways. I ground my hands together as I tried to imagine what kind of shit was going down in this so-called town. Tanner's eyes shifted to each of us in turn. Y'all got fake names. Remember them. Don't use your road names. If all this goes down right and you get the bitch the fuck out, we want no traces. Tanner's assessing eyes flicked to flame beside me. He was staring at the name on the file in front of him. Earl Brown. I could read what was going through Tanner's mind. It was going through mine, too. We weren't sure the brother was cut out for all this undercover shit. Carson Abney, Tanner said to me. Same background, ex-Marine, scout sniper, special ops. Same tours as you did. Means they can't get your real records, so it works as our cover. Vike is Wade Brady and Cowboy Briar Groves. Tanner looked at Hush. Hush stared back, one cocky eyebrow raised. What? No white trash redneck pseudonym for me, mon frere? Tanner's jaw clenched. You walk in there and these fuckers will lynch you on the spot. Fun, Hush said dryly. You stay close at a nearby motel. I nodded at my mixed-race brother. We'll need a distraction at some point. You'll be it. Black bait, he smiled. His blue eyes lighting up with excitement. You mean I'll get to toy with the big bad Aryans? He shifted in his seat. Shit, my massive black dick just got real hard. Bet Meister and his henchmen would just love to suck on that. Cowboy laughed, and then even harder when Vike leaned around me to look at Hush and asked, That true? Blue eyes? You hung? Like a motherfucking horse, Hush quipped. Vike shook his head and looked at Cowboy. Shit, brother, I'm surprised you can even sit down if you get pounded by that battering ram on the daily. I rolled my eyes and shut the fucking room up before it could turn into a Viking cowboy pissing contest. When do we go in? Y'all are ready to go whenever you want, Tanner said. Then we go tonight. I met each of my brother's eyes. Hush, you take the van. We might need it. The rest of us will take a truck. Got a piece of shit one that just came into the shop, banged up and stolen, untraceable back to us. My brothers nodded. Sticks and Kai walked through the door. You set? Kai asked, pointing at the files in our hands. Going tonight. Might be a few days. Going dark. You need us? You get word to us, and we'll come in, guns blazing to get you out, Sticks signed. I nodded again, then looked at Kai. Don't tell your old lady none of this shit. We're going in to get her sister. But if Meister Dick is doing what we suspect he is, ain't no guarantee Red'll be coming home. And if we do find her and get her the hell out,
Don't think we should bring the fucking welcome committee until we know she ain't at death's door. Kai stayed silent for a few seconds, but then he nodded his agreement. The minute you get out, you let me know what's happening. Alive or dead, I want to know. You got it, I replied. Styx raised his hands. Something don't feel right? Get the fuck gone. If Phoebe is there, but you can't get her to come, come back and we'll figure something else out, he smirked. Basically, just don't fucking die. Ain't got time to replace you stupid pieces of shit, yeah? Got it, Prez, Vike said with a crisp salute. I led us out of the clubhouse. I turned to Cowboy and Hush as I lit up a much-needed smoke. Come down to our cabins in an hour. Hush, bring the van. Cowboy, bring the truck. Tank has the keys. We had a clan town to infiltrate. You know we'll have to fuck these whores when we're there, right? I said, and instantly felt the truck frost over. I ain't fucking no whore pussy. Flames spat out. He shifted in his seat in agitation. We'll just warn them right off the bat that Earl here is a fucking nut job and don't touch women unless to send them to the boatmen. They'll take one look at him and believe it, Viking said. Clan's gotta love psychos, right? You expect us to fuck these bitches? Cowboy asked. His leather Stetson pulled low on his forehead. Not sure about you assholes, but I ain't into fucking drugged up sluts. Club sluts, whores and shit are A-okay, but rape ain't my flavor. Pussy ain't your flavor at all, is it? Vike turned to face the back seat. Ain't the taste of salty cum on your tongue more your thing, mon frere? I rolled my eyes as Viking ran his tongue round his lips and waited for our Cajun brother to bite back. Depends on the cock the cum's spurtin' from. Cowboy leaned forward until he was just inches from Vike's, now shocked as hell face. You get a dude who's just eating pineapple? And fuck. He shook his head and wiggled his eyebrows. I could lap that shit up all day. I laughed my ass off as Vike choked on a cough, a disgusted expression on his face. Cowboy just stared at him, flapping his tongue. You're fucking with me, right? Vike asked. Cowboy just shrugged and sat back in his seat, casual as fuck. You are, though, right? We all saw you become a weeping pussy for Kai's sister at his wedding. Cowboy ignored him to look out the window. But seriously, Vike pushed, unable to let anything go. You gotta like pussy. I could feast on that shit all day. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, all you can eat buffet, you know? Fuck, Vike, shut up. The visual of you going down on anyone makes me want to stab out my goddamn eyes, I spat. Whatever, bitch. You just ain't got the tornado tongue talent like me. Clit, slit, spit. In that motherfucking order. Get those bitches squirting for days. Love a good face spray. It stays in my beard for at least a week. Before the puke had a chance to crawl its way up my throat, I saw two flags in the distance, waving in the breeze. Ice crawled over my skin. I knew where those flags were from. The ghost town. This it? Cowboy scanned the barren surroundings. According to Tanner, I replied. We all ready? All my brothers nodded. We arrived at the gate. The moment the guard left his post and approached, I felt the need to kill rush through me. With every step he took, I envisioned my fist hitting his square jaw, jumping on him as he hit the ground. I imagined sliding my knife from my pocket, then pushing it through his still beating heart. This prick was clan, all right. The guard was pushing some serious roids, a semi-automatic in his hands, knives in his belt. His head was shaved, his white shirt pulled tight over his blown-up chest, and his pants were tucked into his shit-kicker boots. The four of us were also wearing variations of this uniform, black cargo pants or jeans, military boots, and white shirts or tanks. What the fuck do you want? The fucker demanded. Here on rec from Boers, I replied casually. I held out my doctored Aryan Brotherhood card Tanner had forged, and the roid head took it from my hand. He checked my name, then leaned in, beckoning with his fingers for the others to hand over their cards. He took the cards into his small office. I watched with rapt attention as he entered the numbers and names into a computer. Cowboy, Vike said under his breath. Cowboy frowned at Vike in his totally inappropriate timing. That pineapple cum thing. Does eating it really make your juice taste as shit? Fike, I hissed. I grabbed his arm and wrenched him to sit forward in his seat. What? He asked. If it'll get more club sluts munching on my junk, like my love juice is pumped with piña colada, then you bet I'll be eating my weight in the good stuff. I kept my hand clenched on the wheel, subtly lashing out and slamming my fist into Vike's thigh as the roided fucker came back. Marines? He asked. I nodded. Sniper. I clocked the same tattoo on his forearm as I had on mine. WMDs, he confirmed. Then nodded at me as a sign of respect. He looked into the truck. Fuck up the rules, you won't be leaving. We run a tight ship. Ain't no brother above Meister's law. The guard moved back and tapped the roof of the truck cab. The barrier lifted, and we pulled out onto a dirt track that stretched on for a good few miles. The two flags I had seen from the road came into view. The Texan Lone Star flag, and the Stars and Stripes. Then, as we turned the corner, smaller flags began to appear. Swastika, Confederate, and the White Cross of the KKK. Shit, Viking said quietly. A clone of the Roid, armed with exactly the same gun, signaled us to a parking lot. Dozens of trucks were parked up. Busy weekend, Vike commented. Dark had set in, and as we got out of our truck, the smell of burning wood filled the air. There's a rally, I said under my breath. The guard approached and flicked his chin. Miss the start of the rally. Go in, and you'll be shown to your rooms. The rally is on the far field, just follow the path, and then you get to choose your pussy and shack. I nodded as if I knew what the fuck he was talking about. I didn't. A shack, Cowboy said quietly, as we made our way to the entrance. Guess we're about to find out, I answered under my breath. Then we entered the town. Our digs were basic, single dorm-style rooms side by side. Vike and Flame were beside me, Cowboy on the other side of Vike. We dumped our bags, then headed outside. It's like there's been a fucking nuclear apocalypse or some shit, Vike said as we looked around the town. Old buildings were littered around the desolate land. A bar sat at the end. A long barn took up the east side. I narrowed my eyes, looking for signs of life. The windows of all the buildings were barred up, and apart from a few guards, there was no one around. One of the guards approached us. Rally's that way, pussy afterward. We walked toward the field. Didn't need no directions. Simply had to follow the orange glows coming from the clan fires. Remember the salutes, I said, checking behind me to make sure the guard was out of earshot. Left arm out, fingers spread in the middle. Right hand making a K against your stomach. If they give a Texanarian Brotherhood salute, raise your index finger, ring and little finger on one hand in response. Tanner said it'll be mainly guards who greet each other this way. But be aware, just in case. If they raise the standard right arm Nazi salute, repeat and reply with Heil Hitler, Sieg Heil, or White Power. It'll be easy, just repeat what they say. Shit. Vike shook his head. What's with all the sign language crap? Maybe Stick should have come. Christ knows, I replied as we turned the corner. Flame growled low in his throat at what lay before us. About 40 or so men, dressed in standard shirts and jeans, and, of course, there were the hooded men, a sea of cone-headed white hoods. My hands balled into fists when I saw a huge motherfucker in the center of the circle, standing right in front of a burning cross. Meister. I assessed the surroundings, noting the potential exits if shit went south. I led the way and joined the circle of men. Several greeted us with the standard clan salute of a left arm raised. I had to force myself not to spit in the face of every smug bastard that flicked his head my way. But we returned the salutes and watched as Meister spoke over the crackling of the burning wood. A race war is coming, and we must be prepared. The white race will reign supreme once again, and we will end them all. The blacks,
the Jews, the Muslims, and any other fucking inferior cunts that try to infiltrate our lands.
His blue eyes were wide with excitement as he looked at each of our faces and nodded, a smile building on his lips.
Gone are the days of street thugs and skinheads, of smashing windows and rioting through cities. We are building an army for the fight. You've seen the news? Heard the reports? The whites are finally on the rise, and we will prevail. We are strong, we are pure, and we will rise.
The men around us raised their hands into the air, shouts of white power pouring from their lips. We shouted back, repeating the mantra over and over again until Meister called for the rally to end. The guards ushered the throng back to the center of town. I signaled for Vike, Flame, and Cowboy to hang back. I wanted to track Meister. I wanted to see where he went, if there would be any obvious signs of Phoebe. We spoke in a tight group, pretending to talk, until a guard came with his gun to guide us back to the path away from the field. I kept my attention locked on Meister as he fell into step behind us. I tried to hear what he and the guard were saying, but they were too far away. I couldn't get near the fucker. The blood rushed through my veins as we entered the town. The lifeless wasteland was now brimming with activity. Men who had been at the rally entered buildings, some on their own, some in small groups. Then there was the line that had formed at the large barn. Fucking chaotic.
"What the fuck is happening?" Vike asked, exasperated, as we stopped outside our dorm.
On cue, a guard stepped out of a shack, dragging a bitch in his wake, and then more guards brought more bitches out of more shacks. My gut clenched. All the women were dressed in almost transparent white dresses, and all looked like they were being put through some serious shit. Flame rocked on his feet beside me, his knife running along his arms, tracing the long scars he already had. Only these knives weren't dull like the ones he'd used lately. They were sharp, and they were fucking ready. He ran the tips over his skin, but he didn't break the flesh. Yet. Looking at the brother's eyes, I saw a glimpse of the pre-Maddie Flame. I saw the fucked-up kid I rescued all those years ago rising from his sleep. I searched through the sea of blondes and brunettes, looking for any flash of red, but there was fucking none. "Jesus Christ," Cowboy whispered, as we watched bitches being pushed into shacks with men, the doors slamming shut, sealing them inside. "Look alive," I said quietly, as a guard came over.
"You're late, which means all the solo shacks are taken."
He eyeballed us all, then pointed to a small cabin on the west side.
"Pay your dues, he'll tell you the rest."
We headed to the cabin, where a thin white cunt with glasses sat behind a desk. Without looking up, he said,
"2,000 each for 3 days, any way you want for as long as you want, excluding Meister's rallies, of course, they're obligatory. Rubber's required at all times. Don't obey the rules, face the punishment."
I reached into my pocket and slammed my cash on the table. My brothers followed suit.
"Do you want to book specific shacks? Do it on a morning. I'm here from 9 a.m.
He typed something on his computer, but never looked up at us.
"Dentist shack is out of bounds this weekend. Don't even attempt to go inside."
He reached out and collected the wads of money.
"The barn is open tonight. Line up and you'll be taken to a whore. You want young pussy? We have one starting at 14. Younger can be arranged at extra cost."
He paused.
"Lines are longer for them. Tough shit."
I felt Flame tense beside me and his arm shake in rage.
"Heil Hitler,"
the man said in dismissal, and gave a lackluster left-handed salute. We repeated, "Heil Hitler," then got the fuck out. As we walked down the road toward the barn, I scanned the area, my special ops sniper training springing into full effect. The sounds of fucking and screaming spilled from the shacks. The line for the barn was shorter now. I headed in that direction. "Get inside with a bitch," I muttered. "Stay for a while and leave, and for Christ's sake, look like you fucked the slut." "I ain't fucking no bitch." Flame came to a dead stop, face blazing red. Turning, I replied, "Then get the fuck back to the dorms and wait for us to come back." His nostrils flared, and I knew the brother was seeing the slave bitches being dragged from pillar to post. He was rapidly losing his shit. I got in his face. Get the fuck back to the dorms. Call Maddie. Forget what you've seen and calm the fuck down. She's safe. She ain't here. She's with Ash at your home. Lip curled. Flame spun on his heels and marched back to the dorms. A guard was on us in seconds. Where's he going? I turned and faced the skinhead fucker. The man's a fucking psycho. You want a bitch here sliced up and dead with blades in her eyes? You let him inside with one. The guard narrowed his eyes at Flame's retreating back. We're passing through Texas on orders from Boers. Earl's a soldier for the cause, just like us, but we need pussy, he doesn't. He just needs blood in the kill. That's his porn. He better not be a fucking fag, the guard snarled, disgust written all over his face. Please, feel free to go ask him if he's a fag, Cowboy offered casually, but a sadistic grin showed how pissed he was. I dare ya. The guard let that shit sit with him for a second. He kills Untermenschen good? Real inventive. Let's just leave it at that, I replied. The guard practically got a fucking boner over the thought of Flame slicing through blacks and Jews. I left the guard to his own fucked up thoughts and joined the line for the barn. While we waited, I used the time to scan the town for Meister. There was no sign of him. It wasn't until I saw a movement coming from the furthest shack that I stilled, my lungs stopping so my ears could hear nothing but the air around me. Meister turned the corner of the building whose sign read Dentist, the building we'd been told to stay away from. But that's not what had me frozen. Senses alert and eyes tracking his every move. That was down to the fact he was carrying some skinny bitch in his arms. Her body lapsed, and head dropped to the side. A bitch with red hair. A bitch he took into the shack and shut the door to keep inside. My heart slammed into a sprint as I re-ran the memory of Phoebe through my mind. I'd seen her once, when we'd got Lila back from almost being crucified. I'd almost killed her, thinking she was a threat. I'd put a gun to her head, but Kai said, "Listen, bitch, we're gonna tie you up, so you can't go running back to Prophet Dumbfuck and tell him we're here. You getting that through your fucked up little brain?" Her blue eyes closed. She was fucking shaking. Then she splintered my fucking dead heart when she nodded and said, Just please get her away and safe. Next time, the elders will not fail to kill her, truly." I'd stared at her then, her eyes reopening. The bitch was crying. Fucking standing up to us, devil's men, to protect Lila. And something inside of me changed. I'd wanted to take her with us, and out of that fucking hellhole. I never thought much on why, but I'd regretted leaving her there ever since. I ran her image through my head, comparing it to the bitch I'd seen in Meister's arms. I closed my eyes and let my memory do what it had been trained to do. Her hair was the same shade of red, the length similar. I thought of her arms, their size and length. The bitch in Meister's arms had been similar, but she was thinner. A lot thinner. My cheek twitched as a surge of anger swept through me. I shook my head to rid myself of the tightness in my chest. A good sniper never let emotion fuck with his head. Always objective, clinical, assessing. I pictured her blue eyes, those fucking ocean blue eyes that had stared into mine. But the eyes of the red-haired bitch over Meister's arms were closed. Drugged? Unconscious? Knocked out? I didn't know. "Next," a guard ordered, ripping me from my thoughts. I filed the details away for later when I was alone, when I could figure out all the information in my head. "Preference?" the guard asked. I shrugged, playing my part again. "Just want pussy to nail," I replied. "Booth 23, he said. I set off down a narrow, creaky hallway. Grunts and groans of men fucking their sluts filled my ears. Beds had been sectioned off by faded curtains, with handwritten numbers scrawled on scrap pieces of paper attached to the musty material. When I arrived at number 23, I pulled back the curtain and stepped inside. I drew in a sharp breath as I laid eyes on a bitch lying in the center of what looked like a small hospital bed. She was naked, her bones jutting out under her white-as-fuck skin. Her dark hair was slicked with sweat and dirt. Her eyes rolled as she fell in and out of consciousness, her head restless on the thin, drool-stained pillow beneath her. An IV was in the vein of her skinny upturned arm, and a bag hung on a stand at her side. Heroin, I assumed. New traffickers pulled that shit on the regular, kept their captives docile. I closed my eyes to keep my shit together, to keep my hand from reaching for my gun and going postal on these fuckers, adding to my record of 132 confirmed kills. The sniper in me couldn't help but keep track of each heart I'd stopped. The psycho within fucking liked to. The sound of some cunt coming next door made my eyes snap open. The bedsprings groaned under the rapid movement of his hips, and his breath came in short bursts. I imagined some pasty, overweight clan fucker slumping, exhausted over a 14-year-old kid. His putrid breath blowing on her passed-out face, his sweat dripping onto her bruised skin. Calm, I ordered myself. Unable to look down at the young trafficked bitch on the bed, I sat down on the edge of the mattress and tipped my head into my hands. Keep your shit together, Xavier Diaz. I took my head to where it needed to be. The sweltering sun pounded down on my back as I waited, unmoving, for one of the fuckers to appear. 2 o'clock, Bones said from beside me. I shifted, moving my gun to the new position. Through a small window, I saw a flicker of movement and braced my finger for the shot. Wait. Wait, Bones said. Now. I shot a bullet straight through the window and into the fucker's head. Direct hit, Bones said under his breath, but I could hear his fucking joy. Direct hit. I pictured the dusty, arid land, not too dissimilar to this fucking hellhole in my head. Pictured myself taking the shot, and let the calmness and training from my sniper days fill my every cell. I pictured the map of the ghost town, plotting every detail of its layout. I saw myself standing at the corner of the main street, staring at the town from the side of this barn. 3 guards walked the rooftops. The road was a mile long, around 100 yards wide. The saloon was the busiest area. 2 exits, the main entrance, and a side door to the left. 3 locks, 1 bolt, 2 padlocks. I imagined staring at the dentist building, 1 way in and 1 way out. The entire building no more than 124 square feet. 1 window in the front wall that was partially blocked by bars and dirt, tin roof and decaying wooden walls. Then I pictured the best spot to shoot from in this town. High range, southeast, clear shot of almost every conceivable angle. I blinked as I pulled myself in the depths of my mind. My hand ran over the handle of my gun. My foot tapped on the floor. A moan came from behind me. I glanced at the drugged-up bitch on the bed, whether I wanted them or not. Flashes from the past came slamming to my head, like a damn battering ram. I tried to push the punishing sounds of gargling, of choking from my ears, but the fucking memories came as fast as the bullets from an Uzi. When I opened my eyes, my always steady firing hand was shaking. I curled my fingers into my palm and forced myself to look at the clan-made whore on the bed. Track marks ran like red stripes over her crepe-thin skin. Her lips were dry and cracked, and lesions mottled the ashen skin on her cheeks. Bruises created a palette of black, blue, and yellow on her inner thighs, and I couldn't even bring myself to look at the state of what lay north of that. As I got to my feet, I ran my hand through my hair and scruffed up the long strands. I rubbed my hands over my face to make them look red, and lastly, dipped my fingers into the small water basin that sat beside the bed. I opened the rubber that was on the side of the bed, wrapped it in a tissue, and tossed it into the trash. The can was already brim full of used rubbers. I took one last look at the bitch on the bed, and a pit caved in my stomach. She was here for the use of the paying clansmen, and she looked a fucking state. What the fuck was Phoebe gonna look like when I got to her? What the hell kind of drug concoction would she be on? Because I fucking would get to her, even if I had to take out Meister with a single shot between the eyes, end his reign as the head of Clan Cunt. Then, see if whatever was left of Red would be salvageable. After this, I wasn't holding out too much hope, but I had to try. Chapter 4. AK. I burst through the doors of the dorm to see Cowboy sitting on the floor outside our rooms. His Stetson was in his hands, his blonde hair sticking up in all directions, and he was staring at a spot of dirt on the opposite wall. He looked up when I kicked his thigh with the tip of my boot. His face